Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation.
Purification of the heart. Love, fear, and tears. Presented by Abdul Bari Yahya.
Part 3.
Loving the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله. To continue with the actions of the heart and purification of the heart, we spoke about first of all, the position of the heart, and then about love, and about fear, and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we'll have another action of the heart, that will continue inshaAllah, and specifically about love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has made the Muslims' love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as obligatory. And he who hates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a kafir, a non-Muslim. He who doesn't love the Prophet sallallahu, who doesn't like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not a Muslim. And so it's obligatory, mandatory for us to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And why shouldn't we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done so much for Islam, and it is because of Allah subhanahu wa sending him, that Islam has reached all of us. And so, amongst the things that we should have is our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the highest, and nothing else, and nobody else in this world that should be more beloved to us than Allah and His Rasul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi wal-Hakim, وصححه الحاكم said it was صحيح and وافقه الذهبي. الذهبي also said, Shaykh al-Islam al-Dhahabi said it was صحيح also. From Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الله لما يغدوكم به من نعمه وأحبوني بحب الله وأحب أهل بيتي لحبي. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given to you amongst the ni'mah of the blessings, of His blessings, and love me because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love my family, Ahlul Bayt, because of my love. So it is obligatory, of course, for us to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, this is also part of Iman. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين, as in Sahih Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. He shall not believe. He who لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you will believe until I am more beloved to him than his father and his son and all of the people. So we should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than our own fathers and our own parents and our own sons and all of the people. And one time, and also another riwayat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدَكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ حَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَالِدِهِ. And he even swore by Allah, by his soul is in his hand, meaning swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should not believe until we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. And there's hadith in Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he took the hand of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, O Umar, he said to Umar, And Omar, when he held his hand, Omar said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, O Rasulullah, La anta ahabbu ilayya min kulli shay'in illa min nafsi. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than anything except for myself. Omar al-Khattab said, except for myself. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا وَلَذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. He said, no, by him whose hand is my soul, until I am more beloved to you than yourself. And then Umar ibn Khattab said, he said, فَإِنْهُ الْآنَ وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ نَفْسِي. He said, and right now, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than my own self, than myself. And then Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ana ya Umar. He said, now Umar, now. And so we should love, of course, love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. And if we love the dunya and we love anything else more than that, then we should wait for a warning. There's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of things to come. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَعْبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. The close meaning, which is, say, O Muhammad, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَعْبَاؤُكُمْ, if your fathers, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, and your children, and your sons, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, and your brothers, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, and your spouses, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, and your tribes and family, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and the wealth that you have gathered together, and وَتِجَارَةٌ, and your business, تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, that you're afraid of it failing. If these things, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and your houses that you are pleased with, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if you love those things more than Allah and His Rasul, and jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, then wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the affair comes. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide those who are fasiqeen, those who are transgressors and sinners. So, if we love Allah more than our fathers and our children and our brothers and our wives and our family and our wealth and even our business and our houses, then we should wait, because this is what happens: is if a person loves those things more, then they are setting themselves up for punishment, for the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why should we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us all that we have, the most important thing that we have, al-Islam. Islam came through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everything that we do, of course, any deed that we do, will eventually return to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, he'll also get the reward for it. And that's why, and in the companions, that's why there's no way that we can match or be equal to what they had, the companions had, in terms of the reward that they get, because everything that they have, everything that they taught came through them. And in whatever we do, they're also going to get the reward also. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تسبوا أصحابي, لا تسبوا أصحابي. Do not curse or do not speak badly or slander my companions. For indeed, if one of them were to spend just a handful of in sadaqah of dates, then it would be more than if you were to spend the amount of gold, a mountain of Uhud, the gold the size of Uhud. Because every time we do something, like for example, right now we're reading a hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, or Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, we know that this hadith, of course, came. It came through them. And then if it came through them and it's reaching us and we act upon that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, أَدَّالُ عَلَى خَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ, a person who shows a way to do good, then it's just like a person doing it. He'll also get the reward. So the reward will eventually go back to the people who taught us. And then it'll go back to the companions. And then eventually, all the reward, of course, will go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, because it was through him that all this knowledge has come through us. So anybody in this world, any Muslim that says Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, or La ilaha illallah, or Allahu Akbar, eventually it will all go back, because all the knowledge came through that, came through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he was very, very merciful towards his ummah, and he loved us more than we know, even more than our parents. He had more shafaqah, I mean more compassion towards the ummah than even the closest people to us. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the example of him and the ummah is like a person who lights up a fire. And you know, when you light up a fire, the fire of course is very flashy. The fire is very flashy, and then when the insects and the flies, the insects and the birds, when they see that fire, they all go into it. They all try to jump into the fire because they see that the flashiness, and they always try to go in. But then, you know, they don't realize the consequences, because you know, the birds that go in, the little birds or insects that fly in, what happens is they get burnt and they die when they go in, and they just see that it's bright, so they just go. But you know, it's just like us. We're always trying to, you know, the dunya is very flashy and very sweet, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna dunya halwatun khadira." إن الدنيا حلوة خاضرة وإن الله يستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. The meaning of which is, the dunya is حلوة خاضرة, meaning very sweet and very green. You know, the green, when you see green, it's very enjoyable to the eyes. It's very pleasurable when you see green. So the green is very pleasurable. And so fear the dunya and fear the woman, because the first fitna of the woman, of Bani Israel, was from the woman. And so the dunya, of course, is very flashy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every one of us, we're always trying to go for the zina, this light and these things, the amusements of the dunya. But then we don't realize the consequences when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go through that. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the example is like he's always trying to push us back from that, because of his compassion and mercy towards this ummah. And if a person has that, you know, a love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, if you want to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we always have to know who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and we have to know how he was. Because, you know, a person really can't love somebody that he doesn't really know. And you can't really love anybody. And if you really love somebody, then you would really want to know everything about them. You know, if you look at the kuffar, the example of the non-Muslims nowadays, you see that, you know, when you go to the supermarkets and at the check stand, you see all those magazines. You see all those magazines and all those movie stars, or, you know, sports stars, and singers and actresses and actors. And they put them there on purpose, you know, because a lot of people buy them. And you see so many different kinds, and people buy them. You know, everybody, you know, the people who go by, they pick one up. You know, just go to the next time when you go to the supermarket, say how many people pick one, just look how many people have picked them up. You know, why they pick them up? Because those people, they love them. They love those actors and actresses and sports stars. And when they love them, they want to know everything about them. Who are they going out with? Who are they marrying? What are they buying? What kind of cars are they driving? What kind of shoes do they have? They want to know everything. And if you ask, like, for example, the youth, you know, if you ask them about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll probably, I mean, if they can name you like five or six of them really quick, I mean, mashallah, that would be very good. But, you know, if you told them to name, like, the players for, you know, like the Houston Rockets or something like that, they'll just name in 5 seconds whatever team, the sports team, they would name it right away. And if you ask them what college did they go to, they'll even tell you that. Or how many points they score, and what's their, they tell you everything. But when you ask them about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was, nobody knows. And you know, when you, if you love somebody, you know, like the kuffar, when they love somebody, they follow them in every single thing that they do, even the kind of shoes that they wear, or how they talk and how they behave. Everything. You know, like the, sometimes, why do they pay like Michael Jordan so much money just to wear Nikes? Or why do they pay, you know, certain players so much just to wear a certain brand of shoes or clothes? Because they know that people love these people. And if you love somebody, you're gonna try to follow them as much as you can. Wear like them, eat like them, drink like them, sleep like them, walk like them, do everything like them. But you know, we say we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know what? When you look at the seerah books, the hadith books, it's got all dust on it. And you know the magazines that those guys, those people are reading, it's almost ripping apart because they open up so many times. They have love for their stars and it's not going to benefit them. These people, non-Muslims, and these people are like the worst people in the society. And people emulate them, do everything that they can to copy and follow them. But Muslims, we say, MashaAllah, we love the Prophet. But then, we don't sleep like the Prophet. We don't eat like the Prophet. We don't talk like the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't wear, and we don't behave like the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do the opposite. And we say we love the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So where are we? Do we really love the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونَ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say, O Muhammad, if indeed you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and forgive you your sins. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we really love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not only follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would be even more, you know, we would be trying to know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more. All the time. See who he was. You know, like those people, they're always trying to find out who the, you know, what, everything, every information about the person whom they love or that singer, everything, wherever they're going to be, even subhanAllah, you know, I remember when I was in the sixth grade, we had a trip to Portland. I'm from Seattle. We had a trip to Portland. We took the Amtrak to Portland. And one of the places that, you know, it was a field trip and we went, to a hotel, one of the most, you know, the most, expensive hotels in Portland. It was a field trip and our teacher spoke to the manager of the hotel. And the hotel, you know, we went to the hotel. Of course, we were a group of students and we had a guide, of course, one of the workers at the hotel. And the worker said, you know, this room, just yesterday, Madonna stayed in this room. Madonna stayed in this room. And that's what she said. She told all of us. And subhanAllah, we looked at the bathroom. Of course, you know, these are like expensive hotels. The bathroom is probably bigger than half our houses, maybe. You know, like, very expensive and it's the most, and so we were all in the bathroom area. And then the person who was saying that, the guide said, Madonna, see this toilet? Madonna sat on this toilet. And you know what happened? One of the girls, you know, in my class, she started rubbing the toilet. She started rubbing the toilet and rubbing herself. Said, Madonna stay here. I said, subhanAllah. The toilet. And then we were in the sixth grade. SubhanAllah. To this point, you know, you see how, you know, how they are. SubhanAllah. They love them so much that even whatever place that they stay, they want to, like, maybe take barakah or something. There's no barakah there, but subhanAllah. You understand. But you understand, you know, the mentality. If you really love somebody, you really want to follow them. And if you truly love them, you would follow every footstep, everything that you do. And just thinking about that person whom you love, changes your heart already. Changes how you feel. And you try to emulate even the smallest thing. You know, even the smallest thing. If they've been somewhere, you try to do whatever they do. Go wherever they go. And this is how Muslims should be. Muslims should be even more than that. And the kuffar with the people whom we're gonna bring, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of the Muslims are like that too. A lot of the Muslims try to copy and emulate. That's why it's haram to emulate the kuffar or to emulate, to copy the non-Muslims. Because a person starts wearing, behaving like them, they start acting like them. And then once they start acting like them, you know, they'll take their deen. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mar'u 'ala deeni khalilihi." A person is in, follows the deen of his closest friend. And also it's very dangerous, if a person, you know, loves anybody else, of course, more than the Prophet ﷺ. Because, if you put anything, anybody more than the Prophet, Allah and His Prophet, then, you know, it will make you follow the other person and maybe listen to the other person. For example, if you know that certain things are haram, and if you love your wife or your children more, then you will probably obey your wife, even though she's telling you to do something's haram. For example, so, you know, a lot of us sometimes we don't, maybe if you don't want to buy, really buy a house, or, you know, we don't want to get into riba, but then she says, then sometimes the woman, sometimes it comes from the woman, sometimes it comes from the children. And they say, oh, look, everybody else has a house except for us. We've been living in the apartment for 10 years or 5-6 years. SubhanAllah. Sometimes it comes through different directions. If you love them more than Allah and His Rasul, you're going to follow them and they're going to lead you to the sin. But if you love Allah and His Rasul more, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I love Allah and His Rasul more than anybody else. So it also keeps you straight and keeps you in the direction where you are. And so have that love for the Prophet ﷺ more than anything else. Even ourselves, meaning even our desires. You know, we desire things and we want things. Sometimes it's not good for us. But if we love Allah and His Rasul more, then we leave our desires aside. Because we don't love our desires more than Allah and His Rasul. And once you do that, inshallah, that's when you have, when you taste the sweetness of Iman. Once you have that, you'll taste the sweetness of Iman, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Three things, if a person has, he will taste the sweetness of Iman. That he loves Allah and His Rasul more than anybody else. Wa yuhibbu al-mar'u la yuhibbu illa lillah. And he loves a person, he doesn't love him except for Allah's sake. Wa ay yakraha ay ya'uda fil kufri ba'da in idnajjahu Allahu minhu kama yakraha ay yuqdhafa fil nar. And he hates or dislikes to return to kufr, to kufr, just like he dislikes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws him into hellfire. So a person who loves Allah and His Rasul more than anybody else, and a person who loves a person just for the sake of Allah, then this a person has this and he hates kufr, then this is where you taste the sweetness of Iman, when you have this. And you know, we always say that, but you know, our actions don't show it. But once, if you truly love that, love those things, then you feel the sweetness of Iman, because following Allah and His Prophet is what we get. That's where the happiness is. There's no happiness in this life except for that, except for following Islam, following the orders of Allah and His Rasul. You know, a lot of people, they think that happiness, you find happiness in the wealth, right, in the money, but you know, if you look at, you know, we'll go back to the examples of those movie stars and from those sports stars. Why do they, when they have a lot of people, you know, if they are confused or they wonder why do those people, why do they get into drugs? And why do they like kill themselves? Why do they commit suicide? You know, rich, they have everything. It seems like they have everything. Everybody wants to be like them. Everyone wants to have the same money that they have. But why do they commit suicide? Now, the reason why they commit suicide is because they have no more hopes. They have no more hopes. And the reason why they don't have no more hopes is because when they, for example, if a person is very poor, or he's, you know, not really well off, before he becomes rich, for example, he says, you know, the reason why I'm sad, the reason why I'm not happy with my life is because I don't have the money. It's because I don't have the position, because I don't have the respect. I don't have the status of these people. If I were like them, then I'd be happy. So they still have hopes. So they work on that. They work on to achieve those goals so that they can be happy. But when they still have hopes, then of course they're still working. But then when you see people like they just, when they're poor and they've just reached that goal, then they start looking around and they say, SubhanAllah, I'm already here. I have my house next to the beach. I have my Porsches and, you know, BMWs, and I have my money, my bank account, I can buy anything I want. Okay. I have everything right now, and people respect me. People emulate me. They copy me. I can buy anything that I want. Why am I not happy? So what happens is because before they thought that money was going to get them, make them happy. So when they've reached that point where they've gotten everything and they're still not happy, it's like a dead end. It's like a dead end because all they see is darkness. They don't know any other way now to be happy. How are you going to be happy now? I don't know any other way. Before I thought it was money. Now I'm already here and it's not there. So what happens? They start jumping off bridges. They take 50 pills of Tylenol and they, you know, they shoot themselves and do all kinds of things. Why? Because they don't have happiness, because that's not where happiness is. Happiness is in following Allah and His Rasul, in loving Allah and His Rasul, and loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we love, what we mean by loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we don't love each other just because somebody does good to us. You know, we love each other. We love a person, a Muslim, just because he's a Muslim. And we love him because he obeys Allah and His Rasul. And because if we love each other, if we loved each other for like dunya purposes, then of course in the end, if there's no benefit for us, then we stop loving them. That's why the strongest bond is the bond of brotherhood, the bond of Islam. And of course, and then if you love people who do good, if you love Muslims and you love people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, and we should love according to the iman, then of course the highest of all those is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So once we love for the sake of Allah and we hate for the sake of Allah, then that's where our iman, that's where we feel we know true Islam, we know what true Islam is. And if we love each other, this will also help us to do good deeds, will help us increase our deeds. When we love Allah and His Rasul and we love each other, it will help us to increase our good deeds. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter paradise until you believe. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will not believe until you love each other. You will not have belief. You will not have iman, complete iman until you really love each other. أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Would you like me to show you something that if you were to do it, you will love each other? أَفْشَ السَّلَامِ. Give salams. Then you would love each other. Why? Because why is iman connected to loving each other? Because if there's hatred, for example, in the community, number one, we wouldn't be able to establish this masjid. If there's so much hatred in the community, nobody would work together. There's nobody that can. We're not, we're not all billionaires or millionaires where we can just say, okay, I want to build this masjid right now. We have to work together and help each other. We have to work together. And if we don't love each other, we can't work with each other. We won't be able to help each other. If we don't help each other, we won't be able to establish the schools. And we won't be able to establish the masajids. And if we don't establish these things, how are we going to increase our iman? How is our iman going to go up if we can't work together? Every single time, like you see somebody, I don't want to go to the masjid because I don't want to see the brother's face. So that keeps you away from doing good. So make sure iman goes down. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and you will not believe until you love each other. Because we have to help each other. We have to work with each other in order to increase the, our iman. And of course, you know, above all that is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we all love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, it helps us to love each other because we have a common ground. We all love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants is good, then that's what we all follow. So anytime we have problems, we go back to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved these things and how he, dealt with the problems or dealt with any of these things. So we have common grounds, then you can also work with each other and inshallah our iman will increase. And you know, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. You know, when when I gave the example of the hotel room, when you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, you know, they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody loved anybody else. You know, look at the hadith in which from Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Qurashi, when he went back, before he became Muslim, he said, Ya Qawm, he said, people, O people, O Quraysh, he said, indeed, I have come to, I've seen the people of, the kings of Persia, okay, and the kings of Rome. But I have never seen anybody, respect and raise to the position where the companions, respected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, "Wallahi ma yahdun an-nazra ilayhi ta'zeeman lahu." They would never, and that the companions would not, because they respected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, they would not look him really straight, meaning straight in the eyes, and in terms of they would always lower themselves in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا تَنَخَّمَ نَخَامَ إِلَّا وَقَعَدْ فِي كَفِي رَجِلٍ مِنْهُمْ فَيُدَلِّكُهُ بِهَا وَجْهُ وَسُوَى. He said every single time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spit out film when somebody it was like that, he spits it out, somebody, a companion, would come and take that and would rub it on his face, put on his face and his shoulder, his chest. This is to that point. This is how the companions were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِذَا تَوَضَّأَ كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وَضُوئِهِ. And when he made wudu, everybody fought, they tried to get the water from the wudu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and how the companions were. And of course, we all want to be with, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we also, how do we be with the Prophet? How can we be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, they were so great in deeds. They had so much deeds that they do. How can we reach them? And so this is what happened one time to a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was thinking about these things. And he was thinking to himself, of course. And he was thinking until to the point where he became sick. He was thinking, he said, he was thinking, if I were to enter paradise, my deeds is not equal to the deed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was thinking that if I were to enter paradise, how can I be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he was sad because he always wanted to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even if he became sick because of that, because he was thinking so much. And so the Prophet, thinking about those things. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, was praying Fajr during that time. And he looked back and that companion was missing, and he went to see him. And he asked him what happened. He said he became sick because he was thinking how if he were to enter paradise, he would still not be able to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his deed is not equal to that. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith, in which made everybody in Medina happy. He said, "Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab." Indeed, a person will be with those whom they love. And they were so happy. Why were they happy? When we hear that, are we happy? When we hear that, are we happy? When we hear, a person will be with whom he loves. You know why we're not happy? Because we don't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they do. They knew that they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they knew, they said, "I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. So I know I'll be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." That's why they were so happy. So even Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, ever since the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, there hasn't been a day that's more joyous for us than that day in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab." And he said, because we know we all love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are so happy because we know we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll be with him in paradise because we love him more than anybody else. So you know why we weren't so happy when we heard that? Because our hearts are not there. We just say it. But our actions, we just say it with our mouths, but our actions don't show it. It doesn't show that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. If it was, then subhanAllah, we would get up and pray just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And the books of hadith and our Quran, there won't be dust there. The books of hadith and book of seerah. Because we would be so anxious to know more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that maybe some of the pages would be ripped by now. If we did love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way that we ourselves claim that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah and His Prophet, and any and all the mu'mineen, as-salihin, as-siddiqeen. Of course, you know, these are just a few examples, and I'll mention some more examples from the companions, but I want to switch to other things concerning the love others, other things that love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not people. You know, subhanallah, there was a tree trunk in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when they built the masjid, they had a tree trunk. The trunk of the tree that was in the front of the masjid was where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to give the khutbah. And when he stood up to give the khutbah, of course, that was before they made the minbar, you know, the steps and the pulpit for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give the khutbah on. And one time, one of the companions said, "O Rasulullah, let us make a pulpit for you so you can stand up and give the khutbah." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay, go ahead and do it." And so the companion did it, and he made, of course, three steps. Three steps, and that's the sunnah in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came by, because that tree trunk was still there, the tree trunk, when it was still there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came by to give the khutbah, he walked by the tree trunk, and the tree trunk, you can hear it start to cry. It was crying, it was making like a crying baby noise, and sort of like, you know how, a noise. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had walked past it. And this is a tree trunk. A tree trunk. It was crying because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walked past it. Because he was so used to having the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing on top of it and giving the khutbah from it. And he was at peace with it. And now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a new minbar. And he wasn't going to stand on the tree trunk anymore. And this hadith, by the way, of course, is in Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, and the scholars have said it's mutawatir. Mutawatir. Meaning, you know, there's the strongest of all the hadith. Meaning so many companions have narrated the hadith, there's no way that it can be anywhere close to being weak or not authentic at all whatsoever. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the minbar. When he went on the minbar, it started to cry. And this is, subhanAllah, this is a tree trunk starting to cry. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was sad. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down from the minbar and started to hug it. He hugged it. And then it stopped making the noise. It stopped making the noise when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hugged it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ama waladhi nafsu Muhammad biyadih. لَوْ لَمْ أَلْتَزِمْهُ لَمَا زَالَ حَكَذَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ He said, if I didn't hug it, it would be like that. It would make that noise until the Day of Judgment. That crying noise until the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. A tree trunk loves the Prophet more than us. Subhanallah. You know, we don't have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us right now. We should be crying. You know, we should be, you know, hoping to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just wanting to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. That we should be crying. A tree trunk cries because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not standing on it anymore. And of course, this is just this the tree trunk, and also the mountains. You know, the Mount Uhud also loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A mountain of rocks and stones and dirt loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time, Anas ibn Malik said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Khaybar, when he saw Mount Uhud in Medina, he said, "هذا جبل يحبنا ونحبه." This is hadith in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim. Said, "This mountain loves us and we love it." And one time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on top of Mount Uhud with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu and Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and then the mountain started to shake. And until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uthbut ya Uhud, stay still and calm, because there's a Prophet on you, and a Siddiq and a truthful, you know, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and two shahidan, meaning two martyrs that are on you right now. So keep still, because you know, it shook because of the love of the Prophet, because of its love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so even inanimate objects love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inanimate objects love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But us, subhanAllah, we have hearts that beat. You know, our hearts don't even need oil. You know, it keeps them beating. This is one of the miracles, subhanAllah. You know, many years, you know, like machines when we make, we always need to put oil and it runs out, you know, but subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the body so great. But you know, us, I mean, body and flesh, mind, and we don't even love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just like the inanimate objects love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another hadith, in Musnad Imam Ahmad, al-Tabarani, Abu Nu'aym al-Bayhaqi, Abu Nu'aym al-Bayhaqi, and Rijaluhu Rijal Ahmad, and Abu Nu'aym al-Bayhaqi, they said this is Rijaluhu Sahih, the hadith is Sahih. The Prophet, this hadith is from Ya'la ibn Murrah al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu. He said, one time we were walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stopped in a place, of course, nazala manzila, means stayed a place to spend the night. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping. And when it slept, a tree came off of its roots. It was moving towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it sort of like enveloped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, of course, the companion said, when he woke up, because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هِيَ شَجَرًا إِسْتَأْذَنَتْ رَبَّهَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي أَن تُسَلِّمْ عَلَيَّ فَأُذِنَ لَهَا. He said, this is a tree that when it saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it asked Allah, oh Allah, let me give salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah gave it permission. So it came out of its place, out of its roots and everything, and came back to its place. It asked Allah when it saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But us, you know, how many times have we asked to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even in our dreams? Do we ask to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And this is a tree, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a tree. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how the inanimate objects loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time, there's a story, the hadith is in Bidai ibn Nihaya, and it's also part of it in Sahih Bukhari, but it's more clear in Al-Bidai Nihaya ibn Kathir. He mentioned in Hunayn, Yawmul Hunayn. Yawmul Hunayn is the battle in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought the mushrikeen around Mecca, when the non-Muslims gathered around to fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the battle, of course a lot of the people after that became Muslims. And there were a lot of new Muslims because the Arab tribes, when they came, they took bay'ah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that time. And they became Muslims. And when they became Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, had a lot of ghanaim, had a lot of the spoils of war. And he gave some of the people like hundred camel for this person, particular person. And they were all rich people. They were all the leaders of their tribes. And he gave another person 100 camels. You know, 100 camels is a lot. You know, 100 camels, subhanAllah. And he gave another person, you know, a certain amount of, you know, sheep and cattle and a lot of things. And he didn't give the Ansar, you know, the Ansar, the people from Medina, they didn't get anything like these people got. And so some of them, they were speaking to each other. And they were wondering, you know, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give all this wealth to these people who really they don't even need it to start with. And the people of the Ansar are very poor. And they're with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the beginning. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about it, they sent Sa'd. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, of course, he was one of the leaders of the Ansar. And they sent him, and Sa'd spoke to them. And he said, gather all the Ansar, gather all your people. Gather all the people. And when he gathered all the people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to them, he stood up and gave a khutbah. You know, he spoke to them. He said, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar. He said, oh Ansar, alam atikum dhalalan fahadakum Allah. He said, didn't I come, you know, to you during that time you were astray, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you, and you were poor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you wealth. And also, the Ansar, you know, the Aus al Khazraj, they were fighting each other, and you were enemies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made your hearts together, gathered your hearts together. And so they said, Bala. They said, yes. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala tujibuna ya ma'ashar al Ansar? Why won't you answer? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion said, what do you want us to say? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want, you can say, you know, he said, you can say, Wallahi law shi'tum laqatatum laqultum wa fa sadaqtum wa suddiqtum. Meaning, you know, you believed in us. You know, you can say, my Ansar, say, we believed in you, O Muhammad, so give us the money. You can say that. Give us, you know, help, you know, give us in sadaqah also. And we came, and you, O Muhammad, you can say, you, O Muhammad, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to them, said, you can say that, okay, you came to us, while people, you know, they kicked you out of your house, you know, out of Mecca, and we took care of you, and you were poor, and you didn't have anybody, and we were there for you, and you were also afraid, and we gave you, security, and so this is, you can say that. The Prophet ﷺ said, you can say that, of course, right? Then the companion said, Al-mannu lillahi wa li rasuli, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, all the blessings, of course, is from Allah and His Rasul, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَجَدْتُمْ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنصَارِ. I mean, do you see that in yourself, lu'a'at? I mean, the dunya? Do you guys like see the flashes of the dunya in front of you, or what? What's happened to you? And, you know, تَأَلَفْتُ بِهَا قَوْمًا أَسْلَمُوا. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, I gave to them because they were, you know, new Muslims, so we can attract their hearts, make their hearts closer to Islam. And then, and this, of course, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَن يَذْهَبَ النَّاسِ بِالشَّاعِ وَالْبَعِيرِ وَتَذْهَبُونَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَى رِحَالِكُمْ. He said, you don't want, I mean, the people go with their sheep and their camels. They go back to their villages with their sheep and with their camels. Don't you want that you go home with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You have Rasulullah with you. Those people go with animals. You have Rasulullah, what else do you want? What else do you want? But subhanAllah, you know, this is the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what those people who got the hundreds of camels, you know what they did? When they got all the camels and sheep, what did they do? They went to their people and said, oh people, Islam is a great religion. Muhammad is very gracious. Become Muslims, all of you. And all of them became Muslims. Because they were the leaders. And then another person came to his village and he said the same thing. Islam is great. Follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's very gracious. He's very good. He's the greatest religion. Follow it. This is the correct religion. And they all followed. And because of that, look at the hikmah. And all the Arabian Peninsula during that time became Muslim. All of them. You know, he didn't give to the Ansar. They didn't need it. They had the iman. They were already strong. Aren't you happy that you go home with Allah and His Rasul, and they go home with their sheep and camels? So you know, this is how we should. That's how we have. You know, everything. Everybody has a lot of things. You know, and the dunya and all those things. But the most precious thing that we have is Allah and His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul. That's the most precious thing. And if you have that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't really need anything else. You obey Allah and His Rasul. You have Islam. You don't need anything else. Because that's complete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Because if you put your trust in Allah, who is better to take care of you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And, you know, that's why, you know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was at, before Tabuk, you know, before the Ghazwa Tabuk, for the campaign to Tabuk, when the companions were about to go and face the Romans, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the people to give, you know, sadaqat and give money to help in the campaign and help the people, and also, you know, the wealth and put together. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab, of course, he said, you know, today inshallah I'll beat Abu Bakr. So today I'll beat Abu Bakr, and I'll beat him. So he brought half his wealth. And when he brought half his wealth, you know, he thought, mashallah, you know, I'm going to be Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and brought everything that he had. everything that he had. And he said, all of this is for Allah and His Rasul. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, what do you have left? He said, I have Allah and His Rasul left. That's all I need. You know, the scholars have also mentioned that if a person were to come and bring all their wealth, and then they don't take care of their children, it's not permissible to do that. You know, for example, if you don't take care of your children, it's not permissible to do that. Like you, for example, when Sa'd ibn Waqqas told, he wanted to give everybody, I mean, he give all his wealth when he thought he was about to pass away, he wanted to give all his wealth, and the Prophet ﷺ forbade him. He said, "Antatruka warathataka aghniya khayr minka an tad'ahum 'alatan yatakaffafun." That you leave them, like rich or have money is better than just to take, to not have any money and they start asking people for money. So that's better. So you have to take it as wajib to take care of your family. Then why did Abu Bakr do this? And why do the scholars say, is it permissible for Abu Bakr only? And it's not permissible for anybody else? No, it's permissible. It's permissible as long, it's permissible to do that. As long as a person, knows that his family will be taken care of anyways. For example, because why? Because Abu Bakr, he was very good in buying and selling and trading. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Kana Abu Bakr atjaru Quraysh." He was the best in tijara, in trade, in buying and selling and trading, in business. Abu Bakr amongst the Quraysh was the best. That's why he had so much wealth, so much money. He was the best in buying and selling and trading. And of course, so if a person, like for example nowadays, let's say, can somebody give him? What would the example be of a person doing that? It would be like somebody had a house, and had cars, and he had everything, and he said, "Everything here is for Allah and His Rasul," and he didn't leave anything at all after that. Could somebody do that and then still have a place? Still have a place to live? You could, right? You can now just wait for your side. Go rent an apartment. Give everything you have, right? Go rent an apartment. Bring your family to the apartment. And inshallah, next month the salary will come again. Right? So if you can do this, it's possible. But if you're going to throw everything and give everything, and then your family be in the streets, it's haram. It's haram. But if you can do this, a modern example would be that. So you can do that as long as, that's why the scholars said, no, it's not specific to, if somebody like Abu Bakr, has the money, he can always get the money back, then you can do that. But you can't leave your children, going around begging from people. And so they loved Allah and His Rasul. And that was the most important thing. If they had Allah and His Rasul. So Abu Bakr said, what did he have left? I have Allah and His Rasul left. Allah will take care of me. And I have the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this is how some of the companions were with their love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very merciful towards us, of course. And he said, "Inni lam ub'athu la'anan wa inna ub'ithu rahmatan." Indeed, I have not been sent as a person who just curses and yells at people, but I have been sent as a mercy, as a mercy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a mercy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." We have not sent you except as a mercy for all of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, "Walaqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum azizun 'alayhi ma 'anittum harisun 'alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim." Now hath come unto you a messenger from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you should face any hardship. Meaning, azizun 'alayhi ma 'anittum. Anything that is difficult for us, the Prophet ﷺ feels, like he doesn't want any hardship for us at all. He wants everything easy for us. And is always harisun alaykum, anxious over us, wanting everything that's good for us all the time. And to the believers, he's very kind and merciful towards the believers. So if you know that somebody really loves you, and really likes you, and shouldn't you feel the same way towards them? If they feel so much love towards you, you'd have to have really cold, cold heart to not love somebody who loves you so much. At least you can love them as much as they love you. At least, that's the least. Right? If somebody shows so much compassion, to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his compassion towards the mu'min is so great. But you know, we don't show back our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that he loves us and he doesn't want any difficulties for us. He even loves us more than our parents. He wants what's good for us more than our parents even. So, you know, this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, in many things, there's hadith in Sahih Bukhari Muslim in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَةٍ مُسْتَجَابَةٍ. Every prophet has a dua that is accepted. فَتَعَجَّلَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَتَهُ. And every single prophet already made the dua for their ummah, for their ummah. وَإِنِّي اخْتَبَأْتُ دَعْوَتِي شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. But the Prophet knew what's more important for us, that the day of judgment is much more greater, much more hard. So he saved this dua, the dua that's accepted for the ummah. فَهِيَ نَائِلَةٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So anybody who dies without making shirk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the shafa'ah, will have the intercession. That's why every Muslim, every Muslim, inshaAllah, will enter paradise as long as he dies with La ilaha illallah. You know why? Because the Prophet ﷺ saved that dua for all of us. Saved the dua for all of us, the shafa'ah. The dua for all of us, for the day of judgment. And this is how he is, because he wants, you know, his compassion and mercy towards us. And he also said another hadith, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالتَّأْخِيرِ الْعِشَاءِ وَالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةِ. He said, if I didn't fear for hardship for my ummah, I would have told them, I would have ordered them to pray Isha, you know, later. Meaning in the middle of the night, when the middle of the night comes. And also make siwak, I mean, clean, brush your teeth with siwak, with every salat. Every time you pray, you do that. But it's difficult. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order us. Because he wanted, he didn't want anything, any hardship for us, whatsoever. You know, let's go back to some of the how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And you know, if we want to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course we have to know how he was, because to know somebody, to love somebody, you must know who he was. And before I get to that, there's another hadith from Sulaim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in her house one time, and he spent, you know, the afternoon and the daytime he was sleeping, his qailula, means, you know, the siesta. When he was sleeping, he, of course, you know, in Medina, it's very hot. Of course, you know, it's natural that you sweat. And so, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, opened his eyes, he saw Sulaim was collecting his sweat. You know, any sweat that dropped, she was collecting his sweat. And she said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma tasna'in ya Sulaim? What are you doing?" Said, "Arakuka ya Rasulullah naj'aluhu tiban." Said, your sweat, O Rasulullah, I'm collecting it to use it as perfume. I'm using it as perfume. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sweat so smells so good. She collected to use it as perfume. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his manners, of course, he was very generous, and at the same time he was very open with all his companions, and he loved his companions so much, to the point where, you know, when he was teaching, and he was so just, sometimes he would teach the companions, and every one of the companions thought, you know, because of the way he treated him personally, that he thought that he was the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so nice to him, and was always, you know, the way he looked at him also. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, ana khayrun a Abu Bakr? Am I better or Abu Bakr better?" Because of the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to him. It's like his closest friend, the closest person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Abu Bakr is better than you." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he said, "Ana khayrun Umar." He said, "Am I better or Umar is better than me? Who is better, me or Umar?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Umar is better than you." But see, it's the way that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to every single individual. Everyone thought, every companion thought that he was the Prophet ﷺ's closest person. This is the way he spoke. And, you know, Jirir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمْتُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prevented me from meeting him ever since I became Muslim. I mean, every time I needed something, he was always there. He never said, oh, just wait later on, don't come right now. Never. Every time he needed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Or, oh, I'm busy, don't come right now. He never said that. وَلَا رَآنِ إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ. And every single time he saw me, he smiled in my face. So, you know, a lot of the Muslims nowadays, you know, a person who's like, who's really, you know, pious, his face is always frowning, much fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, that's not how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was always smiling. He loved his companions. He was always smiling to them. Every time he looked at somebody, he smiled at them. And they all loved him. And they built that love. And so that's how he was with his companions. And listen to what Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was the one who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for almost 10 years. He said, خَدَمْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ. He never said uff. You know the word uff in Arabic is when you see something, it's something that you don't like. Like for example, if your mother says to you, son, can you wash the dishes? And you say, shh, again? Like that, you know, you go, shh. Again, you know, not frustration, but you, again? It's that word, it's that shh. It's that the air that comes out, you know, sometimes like the flat tire, shh, again. You know, in English, I don't know, maybe that's the equivalent of it, you know, uff. He never said uff to anybody. You know, وَمَا قَالَ لِي شَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَا صَنَعْتَ وَلَا لِي شَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ لِمَا تَرَكْتَ. And he never said to me, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do that? Or why did you do that? Or why didn't you do that? He never said that to me at all. Because, you know, these words are not beneficial. You know, if somebody does something wrong, you just, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, they did something wrong. You should teach them. And you don't say that, oh, why'd you do that? Because there's no benefit in it. You tell them why, you know, look, what you did is incorrect. And then tell them what they should do next time. But he was never rude. He was always so lenient and soft when he was speaking to his companions. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. And he was the best in manners. وَلَا مَسَسْتُ خَزًّا وَلَا حَرِيرًا وَلَا شَيْءٍ أَلْيَنُ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And I've never touched any خَزًّا is a thick form of silk. Any silk, وَلَا حَرِيرًا, or any kind of silk, or any kind of plush. وَلَا شَيْءٍ أَلْيَنُ. And there's nothing that was more softer than the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا شَمَمْتُ مِسْكًا قَطًا وَلَا عِطْرًا أَطْيَبُ مِنْ عَرَقِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And I have never smelt any musk or any perfume that was more pleasant smelling than the sweat of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, فِي الشَّمَائِلِ and Sahih al-Albani. And also, you know, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of course, he loved his companions. And He loved them, and also he cared for them. And he always tried to find the best for them, to the point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when there were ayats, you know, about the ummah, when he read ayats about the ummah of the Prophet of his ummah, he would cry. He would cry some, not for him. You know, but for shafaqah, meaning mercy and because of his compassion for us, for all of us. And he would cry and he would repeat the ayats that were speaking about us, you know, about how we were going to be asked on the Day of Judgment. And so love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, should be the highest. And so if we really love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, we should always want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu, how do you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do you see how he was? If you see him in a dream, then it is like we've seen him in real life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'ani fil manami fa ka'annama ra'ani." When whoever saw me in a dream, then it is as if he saw me in real life. And so we should always have that desire and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone can have that. Only those whose hearts are pure, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, can have that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, from Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, who said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ يَوْمٌ لِأَنْ يَرَانِي وَلَا يَرَانِي ثُمَّ لِأَنْ يَرَانِي أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ مَعَهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will come a day that the people who do not see me, meaning, you know, there will be days come later, meaning the people who are, meaning us, the people who come after the companions who haven't seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they would want to see me so much that if you were to take their family and all of their wealth just so they can see me, they would agree. They would give it all up. Subhanallah. You know, imagine right now. Can we say that? Can we say, okay, take my wealth, and take my family, as long as I can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take it. I'll trade it all for that. Subhanallah. There will come a time when that will happen. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who love to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this point, to that point. And this is how the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And the Prophet, of course, you know, he had everything. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had everything he wanted if he wanted. You know, he had as much gold as he wanted if he wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the option. If you want, I will make the mountains of Mecca become gold and it would all be yours. But you know what he said? بَلْ أَجُوعَ يَوْمًا وَأَشْبَعُ يَوْمًا. He said, no, I would rather be hungry for one day and be full the next day. So on the day that I'm hungry, I can be patient. And on the day that I'm full, that I eat, inshallah, on that day, I can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is called zuhd ikhtiyari. I mean, this is the zuhd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, and this is a hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said about her family, you know, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما شبيه آل محمد منذ قدم المدينة من طعام بر ثلاث ليالي تباعا حتى قبض. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never ate, you know, طعام بر, meaning, you know, from the flour, never food from a flour, you know, I mean, they for 3 days straight, they never ate anything until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, we would go months sometimes and there wouldn't be any cooking in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There would be no smoke coming from the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no smoke, subhanallah. No smoke means they didn't have anything to cook. So what did they eat? Al-aswadan. I mean, the two, you know, black food, meaning the water and tamar, water and dates. So that's what they had. And you know, sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray Fajr, and of course the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was next to the masjid. And he would go in and ask Aisha radiallahu anha, ask her and say, Ya Aisha, do we have anything to eat today? And she would say, no, we don't have anything. Okay, and then I'm fasting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast, because he didn't have any food. So that's why the scholars have said, if a person fasts sunnah, if it's a sunnah fast, if he hasn't eaten, just as long as he hasn't eaten, the intention can be made afterwards. Even after Fajr, you can still make the intention. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't making the intention to fast, but because they didn't have any food in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many days have we gone to our house and have no food? Subhanallah, when we're, you know, when mashallah, when the halal meat goes out, you know, we only have fish. Only fish today? Subhanallah. Only fish. Why did you go to the store and get the halal meat? Subhanallah. No food in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No food. And so some of the scholars said, they said, wallahi, you know, if a mouse were to go in the house of the Prophet, it would starve to death. A mouse, it wouldn't find any food. But you know, the houses that we have, subhanAllah, there's food all the time. We have refrigerators full of food. If we were to not go outside our house, not work anything for maybe a whole month, we'd still not starve to death. We wouldn't starve. But you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she also said, مَا أَكَلَ آلِ مُحَمَّدْ أَكْلَتَيْنْ فِي يَوْمٍ إِلَّا إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمَرٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house never ate two meals except that one of the meals was just dates. That's all they had, just dates. They never had, you know, like rice in the morning, and then they had, you know, like kabsa, or they had, you know, meat. And subhanAllah, if they ate something, And we're not even talking about meat. If they had, you know, like anything made of flour. Flour. And they never ate, you know, two meals except for that one of the meals was just tamar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have. But you know, it wasn't, he could have had all these things. But you know, this is how he wanted to live. He wanted to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he ate. And he wanted to be patient when he didn't have the food. And you know, so subhanAllah, you know, if you try, if you want to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of us, you know, we always complain. It's so difficult to get up for Fajr. It's so difficult to get up for Tahajjud. It's so difficult. Because we're not doing the little things correctly. You know, if we were doing things correctly, we were following the sunnah. Every sunnah helps build another sunnah. Every sunnah that you do will help you do another sunnah. And every sin that you make will help you, will influence the decreasing in deeds. So, you know, if you follow, for example, the sunnah of eating, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, eating just a few morsels is just enough. Is enough. But if you have to eat, then one third for food, one third for water, and one third for air. One third for food, one third for, you know, so these should always be equal. But you know, not all of us, you know, we don't realize it, but you know, the portion of food should be equal to the water that you drink, should be equal to the air that you leave behind. And that's the most, maximum, if you have to eat more, in other words. Otherwise, just a few morsels would be enough. But you know, if you can practice this sunnah, see, this sunnah leads to another sunnah. It will help you get up for tahajjud. It will help you get up for the tahajjud. And so the more sunnahs you practice, the more it is easier to practice the sunnah. So that's why you should never look down upon a sunnah or good deed. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't ever look down upon a good, looking at a deed as being like, you know, not really high in value. All good deeds will benefit you and will increase you in other deeds. So if a person, for example, even if you were to meet your Muslim brothers, just smile when you see your, you know, it's sadaqah. But you know that smile, you don't know that smile maybe will lead you to paradise. How does that smile lead you to paradise? Because you know when we walk by somebody and they're always, when they walk by and they frown, they go, what's wrong with that person? Maybe he's mad at me. So it builds like this, you know, the enmity. But if you smile at your brother, Muslim brother, then mashallah, it builds the bonds and then you help each other. And then when you need something, you know, your brother always helps you. And then when you work together and you have that bond, you build, you know, like I mentioned, you build masajids and you come to classes together and you help each other wake up. And we do all kinds of things. So all these things, all the little sunnahs will help you and eventually, inshallah, will lead you to paradise. Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we should be. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he had anything that he wanted, but you know, he said, Allahumma ja'al rizq ali Muhammadin quta wa fi riwayatin kifafan. He said, you know, for us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many things. We say, oh Allah, give me this, of course, give me this and that in the dunya. You know, the dunya, we're always thinking about the dunya. But you know, the thing in the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look what he said. He said, oh Allah, just give me the rizq that is enough for me. Just give me the rizq that is enough, kifafan, just enough for me. Because sometimes, you know, when you have too many distractions in the dunya, it distracts you from the akhirah. And at the same time, when you eat, especially for consider when it comes to food, that's why, because you know we don't realize it. We don't realize it, but it's not really the food that gives you the power and the strength. You know, it's not really the food. It's Allah. It's Allah that gives you that. So why can the Prophet ﷺ eat so little and we eat so much and we don't have a lot of strength? And the companions, they would be fasting, and they would come. They have so much strength in jihad. It's because of Allah, and you know that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, when a person goes to sleep, three knots are tied behind his back. Then when he wakes up and he remembers Allah, one knot is untied, and when he makes wudu, the other knot is untied, and when he comes and stands up and prays, the other knot is untied. And then he wakes up, nashithun nafs, I mean he has energy. He has energy. He has energy. Why energy? Because he ate? No. Energy because he prayed tahajjud. He has energy. And if he doesn't, if he sleeps until adhan time, then it's like the shaitan has just urinated in his ears. And when he wakes up khabith al-nafs, tired, kaslan. and also lazy. No energy. And you feel bad. You know how you wake up and you just don't feel like waking up. You don't feel like waking up. You feel so bad. That's because we didn't get up for tahajjud. If you were to get up for tahajjud, this is what gives you energy. Obedience gives us energy. Obedience to Allah gives us energy. And committing sins takes away our air. If you don't believe it, try it. It isn't really the food. All you need is just enough to keep you straight. Just a few morsels to keep you straight. But the true energy comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we get our energy from. So if we see that this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, how he was, of course it makes us love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more. And it makes us want to learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in ending, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should always, as I mentioned, if we love somebody, then we have to find out who they really are and find out about them. So all of us, in fact, we should be, and when we go home, take out your hadith book and find out who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And read, take out, blow that dust off that seerah book and start reading it. Blow that dust off the seerah book and start reading it. Because if you truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would be desiring to want to know everything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, and you should be obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time and trying to follow every footstep that he made. And if you want to know how to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the companions that you should read about is Abdullah ibn Umar, of how he followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how he loved the Prophet ﷺ. Of course, all the companions, they loved the Prophet ﷺ, and they tried to follow in every single thing. But Abdullah ibn Umar was even more in this aspect, in trying to follow every footsteps, to the point where when he was making hajj and he was on the camel, he was making dua, "Oh Allah, make my camel step on the same places that the Prophet ﷺ's camel stepped on." Subhanallah. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu increase our iman and increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Allah and His Prophet. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we've heard and to practice. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge. And so that, because this is the path to paradise, and inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking knowledge that will help you do all these things. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from knowledge that doesn't benefit us. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the knowledge that will benefit us in this life and in hereafter. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org. The presentation will continue on the next CD.